guys, let's get started. 18. Oh, thank you. Come here. Come here.
Thank you, baby.
All right. Let's go to 18. 18, take the name of Jesus with you on the first. Take the name of Jesus with you, child of sorrow and of woe. It will joy and comfort give you. Take it then where'er you go. Precious name, oh how sweet. Hope of earth and joy of heaven. Precious name, oh how sweet. Hope of earth and joy of heaven. Take the name of Jesus ever as a shield from every snare. If temptations round you gather, breathe that holy name in prayer. Precious name, oh how sweet. Hope of earth and joy of heaven. Precious name, oh how sweet. Hope of earth and joy of heaven. Oh, the precious name of Jesus, how it thrills our souls with joy. When his loving arms receive us, and his sons are tongues in point. Precious name, oh how sweet. Hope of earth and joy of heaven. Precious name, oh how sweet. Hope of earth and joy of heaven. All right. With bowing, falling prostrate at his feet, King of kings in heaven crown him. When our journey is complete, precious name, oh how sweet. Hope of earth and joy of heaven. Precious name, oh how sweet. Hope of earth and joy of heaven. All right. Hey, Eli, Enrique, sit one pew back. And I'll see if you really, you guys are serious about singing or you're just trying to bug the girls. So sit one pew back because the girls are like, and then sing just as loud as you're singing, just not right next to the girl's ears. You know, it'll serve you well to remember that when you start liking girls. So I'm helping you out here. You don't know it, but I am. I feel bad. They're singing really loud and the girls are like, so I'm just like, I want him to sing loud. I appreciate it. Don't turn it off. Just don't do it in their ears. Yeah, there you go. All right. Well, we welcome to Springcrest Baptist Church. Today is March 8th. Yes, right? Yeah. And our Sunday morning service, 10:30 a.m. Sunday evening, 4:30. And then Wednesday service is at 5:30 p.m. And then we have the Sunday soul winning time at 2 p.m. Now, I know you guys said you had four, and then Sylvia? Four for the whole group. So that puts us at 160 for the year. Yeah, we're well over halfway to beating last year's, and we've got so many more events. So last year was kind of a, you know, as we transitioned, we didn't have as many events in the beginning of the year, other than the big one. So that actually is helping a lot. And so we have, obviously, the birthdays that I kept getting wrong and the Wycliffe's anniversary. And then if you guys get a chance, Pastor Cobb, we did mention it earlier, but you weren't here. Today is their 49th anniversary of serving at Springcrest Baptist Church. So 49 years ago, they showed up. So, yeah, that's a... Pastor Cobb's been preaching longer than most of us have been alive. So I'm just, you were born and he was like preaching the word. He's like, let's get people spiritually born. And then we have the Soul Winning Marathon, March 21st. And then March 22nd, we have Pastor Bruce Mejia, First Works Baptist Church, coming to preach for us. Then on April 4th, the day before Easter, we are participating in the Mega Soul Winning Marathon. So we're not the only church that will be participating. God willing, there's churches all over the world. We just actually were looking at the update. There's already groups in Sweden and in the Philippines and just all over the place. And then Pastor Shelley with the Steadfast, they're going to have a Baptist bias, and they'll be announcing all that stuff as those numbers roll in. So what I like to do on that day, if we can be more strategic, I'm going to try to see as many people. We can get as many people as possible so I can split up like the Spanish and the English so we can go and really hit all the receptive areas. That would be ideal. There's a QR code there. Just scan it and register, even though I know you guys are coming. But it's more for just getting an idea of how many total soul winners there will be participating in this worldwide event. And then April 18th, we have the University of Houston Soul Winning Marathon. Brother Jerry is leading that, and we'll get more details as we get closer to that. And then I'll finally remove this, but congratulations to everybody that received a gift card for the January reading. We're March. Every month this year that we have 31 days, if you read your New Testament, those 31 days, we'll go ahead and do some rewards similar to that. Pray for all the expecting mothers, especially Christian Rogers. She did experience some complications, but apparently everything's okay. And then Marcel, I think, is experiencing first trimester woes, and that's not always the most pleasant from what I hear. So, and then on the back, pray for everybody on the prayer list, and we'll add, his name's Elliot. So that was who I went to go see at the medical center. Pray for a couple of things. He got saved, and just pray. I was very thorough, but when you're at the hospital with a lot of drugs, you just want to make sure that it's it. But he's getting it from all. Like, his brother is a member of Steadfast. Like, I don't think that guy slips through the cracks, what I'm saying. So I gave him the gospel. He got saved. But I guess the thing I'm trying to say is just, we just always want to make sure in a situation like that, where especially the tumor he has is in his brain. And so just pray that, number one, there wasn't any confusion. Number two, that the surgery goes well. It's a 24-hour surgery on Tuesday. He's got three young girls. And of course, they're stressing out. They're worried. So just be with the family. And of course, Nicholas, he's a great soul winner, and he's dedicated to Steadfast. But that's his brother. They're only apart by 11 months. So, you know, that's always a really tough thing. But just pray for Brother Elliot for the surgery. And then what'd be great is if we can get him out and baptized, you know, after salvation, right? But he was in great spirits. Actually, I was really encouraged by him. Like, he kind of got me pumped up. He just has this like great outlook on life. He's taking it one step at a time. And you would think for someone who's about to undergo such a big surgery, he'd be more concerned. But he's just really laid back, and he's doing his best. So just pray for that whole situation. And also just pray, and I'm grateful for all the soul winners that went out, whether it's one soul at the hospital or four out soul winning. They're all the same to the Lord Jesus Christ. So we're grateful for all of it. And with that being said, just, we added him there. Do pray for the little girls. And then if we can do anything for them, you know, just send them meals or anything, that would be the only thing I would say, because the mom's there taking care of all the kids. But of course, they're trying to just get him through that whole situation. And then and we need to contact Brother Heath has it. Other than that, let's turn our hymnals over to page 20. Page 20, When I See the Blood. And then we'll have Brother Jerry read for us 1 Corinthians 5. And then we'll get to the preaching. 20, When I See the Blood. Christ our Redeemer died on the cross, died for the sinner, paid all his due. All who receive him need never fear. Yes, he will pass over you. When I see the blood, when I see the blood, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. Chiefest sinners, Jesus can save. As he has promised, so he will do. Oh, sinners, hear him. When I see the blood, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. Judgment is coming, all will be there. Who have rejected, who have refused. Oh, sinners, hasten, let Jesus in. Then God will pass over you. When I see the blood, when I see the blood, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. Oh, what compassion, oh, boundless love. Jesus has power, Jesus is true. All who believe are saved from the storm. Oh, he will pass over you. See the blood, when I see the blood, pass over you. All right, turn your Bibles over to 1 Corinthians 5. And we'll have Brother Jerry read for us.
First Corinthians chapter 5. It is reported commonly that there is fornication among you, and such fornication is not so much as named among the Gentiles, that one should have his father's wife. And ye are puffed up, and have not rather mourned, that he hath done this deed might be taken away from among you. For I verily, as absent in body, but present in spirit, have judged already, as though I were present, concerning him that hath so done this deed. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when ye are gathered together, and my spirit with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ, to deliver such an one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. Your glorying is not good. Know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? Purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened. For even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. I wrote unto you in an epistle not to company with fornicators, yet not altogether with the fornicators of this world, or with the covetous, or extortioners, or with idolaters, for then must ye needs go out of the world. But now I have written unto you not to keep company if any man that is called a brother be a fornicator, or covetous, or an idolater, or a railer, or a drunkard, or an extortioner. With such an one, know not to eat. For what have I to do to judge them also that are without? Do not ye judge them that are within? But them that are without, God judgeth. Therefore, put away from among yourselves that wicked person. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for your Son, Jesus. Thank you for your word. Just be with Pastor Reyes as he brings the message today. Just let us have ears to hear, Lord. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Jared.
Yes, sir.
We're there in 1 Corinthians 5.
Oh, yeah. That would be helpful.
And we'll continue our study on the different attributes or characteristics of the different sins of the people that get basically kicked out of church, right? Like, we don't just arbitrarily just start kicking people out of church. There's a specific list that the Bible gives us. And we started out with railing, and I preached that sermon before. And of course, railing, I started with it because that's what we had to deal with. That brought up a lot of the teaching that we've done over the last couple of months. But as I was going through it, I figured we would just go through each one of those individually and just preach an entire sermon on it. And even though I was looking, I didn't realize, I thought I preached less on it. My mind is, I have this really cool note-taking app, and it like links everything I've done. And I've preached quite a bit on fornication. It still is something that needs to be preached on a lot more. It's actually a rampant problem in the entire world, right? And so the title of the sermon this afternoon is The Leaven of Fornication. The Leaven of Fornication. And fornication is not adultery. I just want to make that clear. Fornication is when individuals have intimate relations outside of marriage, but they're not married, right? Adultery is when you basically decide to be with someone else while you're married. You decide to just engage in that activity with somebody else. But when you do that before marriage or even after marriage, and you're just moving, like you're just partner after partner, that's fornication. But the Bible is actually really, it's a really horrible sin for two reasons. Number one, it's a sin of the flesh, right? It's a sin that affects us personally. But also there's a spiritual application where we then fall into committing fornication spiritually against God, against the church, against the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible gives us not just a couple of verses. It's a rampant problem throughout the entire Old and New Testament, both the physical act of fornication and the spiritual act of fornication. We'll touch on that here today. But something really stood out to me here today as we were reading this is right there in verse number 9. It says, I wrote unto you an epistle, not to company with fornicator, you know, and I've preached that obviously this, the believers and the sins that certain believers are doing. But here he says, to fornicators, just general, he says, yet not altogether with fornicators of this world. And notice how he said, of this world. So he's talking to everybody in general, right? He says, or with covetous, or extortioners, or with idolaters, for then must ye needs go out of the world. But then in verse 11, now he says, but now I have written unto you not to keep company if any man that is called a brother. So he's saying, hey, this is a problem that's part of the world. And he says, so don't associate with fornicators. Don't associate with the covetous. Don't associate with the extortioners. Don't associate with the idolaters, because then you must need to go out of the world. But then he says, you know what? It's gotten so bad that even your brothers, if they meet this criteria, you shouldn't keep company with them. And he says, if any man that is called a brother be a fornicator or covetous or idolater or a railer or a drunkard or an extortioner, with such an one, no, not eat. And, you know, one of the things that we should really learn to apply in the Bible that I think would help all of us, and including me, like, you know, one of the things, I mean, I apply it, but I think it's something we could even take a step further and a step further, is that we just need to take this at face value, right? The Bible says there at the end, it says, but them that are without, God judges, therefore put away from among yourselves that wicked person. Anybody who's committing these sins, especially if they're a brother, you know what they are? They're wicked. You know, too many times we have a bleeding heart attitude where someone is doing something, but they're not that bad. You know, I get along with them. They're nice. The Bible says if they're doing this, they're wicked. Period. End of story, right? It says, hey, if they're a fornicator, wicked. If they're covetous, wicked. If they're an idolater, wicked. If they're a railer, wicked. If they're a drunkard, wicked. If they're an extortioner, wicked. For such with such an one, no, not eat. Like you shouldn't even be like fellowshipping with this individual. Why does it say eat? Because how do you regularly meet with other people? I was talking to Brother Jerry, but I mean, I've done it with all you guys. How do we fellowship with each other? What do I usually say? Hey, if somebody's hanging around and I haven't hung out with you, hey, let's go get some dinner. Let's go get some lunch. Pastor Cobb, like a week ago, was like, hey, we haven't hung out in a while. You know what we went to go do? We went to go eat. We went to Chipotle and we had a gay old time. It was Brother Heath and me and Pastor Cobb and Sister Linda. We had some good Chipotle, but it was really the fellowship. So the Bible says, hey, you shouldn't even hang out with these people. Like, you shouldn't eat with them. They shouldn't be around you. And it's, again, it goes back to what I was saying this morning. Like, or I don't know what I said this morning. Maybe I'm going to say it tonight. I'm kind of, it's been a long day. But basically, it starts to permeate and it's contagious, right? You don't want to be surrounded with these individuals because they'll start to affect your life. And these sins are the sins that God is concerned with that are really wicked and that they shouldn't be associated with sins that we commit, but they're not necessarily here. I'm not going to kick you out for them. We'll address them from the pulpit. But if anybody's committing any of these sins and we as a church find out, especially if I find out, I'm just telling you right now, I will just ask you to not return until you clean this up, because that's what God's commanded, not because as a matter of fact, I'm glad God commanded it, because I'm such a, like, sometimes I feel bad, and that's what I'm trying to say. Like, we need to get past our emotions, because our emotions will lie for us. The Bible says that the heart is deceitful and wicked above all things. Like, who can know it? Not even you know yourself, right? We tend to get emotionally involved in other people's lives, and it makes it really hard for us to actually hold them accountable, toe the line. That's why nobody will do anything to the list of people that are on these lists, because everybody's been gifted and donated to, and nobody wants to offend anybody. And so all those people are just going to get away with all kinds of abuse and murder and all kinds of wicked things that they did. But just really quick, I said I hadn't done this in a while, and I hadn't, and I just figured it's good to always bring up. But I wanted to come at it from a different way. So usually I bring statistics and things like that. But you know what's one of the things I hadn't done is, I went to the CDC and I was looking up sexually transmitted infections. Now, in my day, we used to call them disease. Now they call it infection. It's so weird how they're always trying to just downplay this stuff. But what I had noticed was just how long of a list this is. So if you just go to, this is on the CDC website. I looked this up yesterday. I just typed CDC, and then I just typed in STIs. I didn't type anything else. And then it gave me this long list of all the diseases. Think about this. You probably won't know what half of these are, which is fine. You don't need to. I'm just saying, this is the kind of stuff people are just walking around with. I talked about it last week. How, you know, it's just disgusting to think about how many people have some kind of diseases. Like Mycoplasma genitalium, bacterial vaginosis, chlamydia, congenital syphilis or regular syphilis, genital HPV, genital herpes, gonorrhea, pelvic inflammatory disease, trichomoniasis. Like, this is just like the basic list of people. This is the most common stuff people are just walking around with all the time. And the way that I've kind of figured out, the way the CDC puts this is most of the time what they're naming is the ones that are curable, right? And they consider HIV curable. I don't think it's curable. Nobody said it's curable, but of course they pump you so full of drugs that now they can maintain it, but it's not anything that's ever going away. If somebody has full-blown AIDS, right, because HIV is the infection, they have it for life. You know, just because Magic Johnson looks good because he's got millions of dollars, the guy is just basically riddled with that disease. He's walking around. He's basically a petri dish of disgustingness. Like, you know, I don't know why anybody likes Magic Johnson. It's gross. But that's a whole other conversation for another day. But another real interesting statistic, this is from the World Health Organization. It says around 1 in 5 people in the U.S. have a STI on any given day, with roughly 68 million prevalent infections estimated. Pay attention to the statistic, because I couldn't, you know, it takes them a while to update. in 2018. You think it's gotten worse or it's gotten better? It's gotten worse. 68 million people, that's like 20% of the population is just walking around with some kind of disease related to fornication. It says, while over 1 million curable STIs are acquired daily worldwide, every day, 1 million people get an STI because they're committing fornication throughout the entire world. So that's what, 365 million people a year? That's insane. Estimates suggest roughly 70 to 71 new STIs occur daily in the U.S. So in the U.S., obviously part of that million, but almost 100,000 people in the U.S. get an STI every day in the U.S. So today we woke up, 70,000 people were riddled with a disease. How do they know this? Because you know what's going on? Fornication is happening all the time. It's happening daily. It's daily, somebody's contracting something from somebody else because they're not doing it within the confines of marriage, which is the only two ways to not get a STI is to abstain before marriage or just be with the person you're married with for the rest of your life. Because there's no, that's it. You're just with that person. There's nothing to exchange, right? Now, I thought this was an interesting statistic here. As of 2022, estimated HIV infections in the U.S. by transmission category, there were 31,800 estimated new HIV infections in the U.S. in 2022. Of those, and this is why we get flack, but guys, it's right here. This is from their own website. I'm not making stuff up. I didn't go to some right-wing, moral, Baptist, you know, independent, fundamental, radical website that said this is skewed the numbers. No, this is from the CDC, the Centers for Disease Control. 67% of those 31,000 or 21,400 were among gay, bisexual, and other men who reported male-to-male contact. So almost 70% of all HIV is from the sodomites. Almost, I mean, it's insane. The other 22% were amongst heterosexuals. And the reason that that happens is because the problem with sodomites or queers is that they go every way. So unless you're actually keen to that, you shouldn't be fornicating, but if you're fornicating and you don't know any better, you don't know who you're with. That's the other reason you shouldn't just do that stuff, right? And then 7% were among those who inject drugs. So, of course, if you're exchanging needles, blood transfusions in the wrong setting without a cleanliness, you're going to pick up, not just that, you're going to pick up a boatload of diseases. That's why, you know, we don't ever just help out bums on the street. Look, if you're young and you're healthy, go get a job. You know, 90% of bums in America are just drug addicts that don't want to go get a job. I mean, Pastor Cobb called me one day like a year ago. We had a bum here who was a big old jerk, stole our bin for our mail, and he was like sleeping out. And we came here like, dude, you got to go. Oh, you're not going to help me out? No, get out of here. We don't got time for you. Oh, you know, and he was, I think he said he didn't believe in God or something to the effect. It's like, I don't care. Get out. You know? And I've dealt with a lot of drug addicts because for a long time, Brother Bobby was the charter founder member of Alcoholic Anonymous. But with that came the fact that they just opened it up to anybody who had a drug addiction. And Brother Bobby was like, if you ever met him, he was like 5 foot nothing and he was ornery as all get out. He was in his 90s and he still carried a roll of dimes in his pocket in case he had to throw down. 90-year-old guy just waiting to be thrown down. I'm not kidding. Like, Brother Bobby was like, you always got to carry a roll of dimes in your pocket because you never know when you're going to have to punch somebody. I was like, Brother Bobby, you're 90 years old. He's like, well, you got to be ready. When the explosion happened over here, I don't know how many of you know, but on Britmore, there was a big plant that exploded. You remember that a couple years ago where it blew up? Like, for several blocks, it rattled and messed up foundations and homes. Well, his house was only a few blocks away. And he had a caretaker, and the caretaker had to, like, calm him down because he was a prisoner of war in Korea. So he was actually imprisoned in Korea for several months, and he came back through an exchange. So he was rough around the edges. And so when he heard that explosion, he went to his closet, got his shotgun, put a chair in front of the window and sat with his shotgun. I mean, not in window, in the door. He thought the enemy was coming, so he was ready for him. Like, and this was a 90-year-old man waiting for somebody to walk through the door so he could shut him down. I mean, just to kind of give you an idea, I don't know where I was headed with that. Oh, that he would bring all the drug addicts. But so he was really rough and he was really direct. So all the people that were going through AA that had issues, he's like, the first thing that he had them do was he forced them to come to church. Like, part of the program is if he was their sponsor, they had to come to Springcrest. So there's times where it stunk in here. Like, it was just rancid because they had just gotten off the streets. And like, we're looking over here. I can still remember there's like 1, 2, 3, 4. Like, his daughter was here and a bunch of drug addicts. And then Brett Lorkey was over here. All these guys are like addicted to meth and all that stuff. But you know what came with that? Like, murders. And you know what? All of them are dead. Brother Bobby of old age, everybody else because of drug use. Brett Lorkey's no longer here. His daughter's no longer here. And, you know, Brother Tommy's son is no longer here. All of them from drug addiction. And Brother Bobby went 54 years after he committed to never drink again. And he never drank. He's a celebrity status in a Alcoholic Anonymous here in Houston. I'm sorry? He got James Drury down here? Okay, so if you know who James Drury is, Pastor, that's a little bit before my time. But if you know who that guy was, apparently he was a famous actor. Him and Brother Bobby like would go to the meetings down here. So he would sell that thing. I'm just telling you, I heard about it. But here's a couple of key facts just to really get this thing going. And then I got you a couple of points for you. Is, you know, right here, more than 1 million curable STIs are acquired every day worldwide between ages of 15 to 49, the majority of which are asymptomatic. In 2020, there are an estimated 374 million new infections in people, including the main ones being chlamydia, gonorrhea, syphilis, trichomoniasis. An estimated 8 million adults between ages 15 and 49 old were infected with syphilis in 2022. An estimated 520 million people aged 15 to 29, or 13% worldwide, have herpes simplex virus type 2 infection, the main cause of genital herpes. HPV infection is associated with over 311,000 cervical cancer deaths each year. 1.1 million pregnant women were estimated to be infected with syphilis. And, you know, that's horrible because if they have that infection, you know who it carries on to? The child. And then the children are born with this infection, and then they have to deal with it all their lives. You know, this is just, you know, the consequences are horrible for fornication. STIs have a direct impact on the reproductive system, you know, infertility, cancer, pregnancy complications. I mean, you name it. And then on the last point here is, or the last fact is, drug resistance is a major threat to reducing the burn of gonorrhea worldwide. It's so prevalent. There's so much of it that basically what ends up happening is there is what's called microevolution, but it's not the way, it's not really the survival of the fittest. Is what happens with bacteria and viruses is they mutate to get resistance to the new drugs. Usually, most of the time, it's a weaker version of itself, but the reason that they say is stronger is not necessarily that it's stronger in structure. It's stronger because the drug that they're using no longer works on it. That doesn't mean anything other than the fact that they found a way around the drug. So the virus learns how to get a loophole around the drug. And what they're saying here with this is that a problem with this is that there's so many variations now because it's so prevalent that they're not able to keep up with the mutations of gonorrhea to the point where it's now drug resistance. It just means that all these viruses have found a loophole to all the drugs. So you're getting pumped full of drugs and it's not doing anything for you. I mean, just imagine being sick all the time. Here's a couple more things. You know, more than over 30 different bacteria, viruses, and parasites are known to be transmitted through STIs. You know, and some can be transmitted from the mother to child during pregnancy, childbirth, breastfeeding, unsafe blood transfusion. 8 pathogens are linked to the greatest incidence of STIs. Of these, 4 are currently curable, but the other 4 are not. Hepatitis B, HSV, HIV, and HPV, right? And I'm using the acronyms because at some point, I'm just going to get tongue-tied. In addition, emerging outbreaks of new infections that can be acquired by STIs contact, such as Mpox, which we found out Mpox was strictly fags, right? Because they're doing some nasty stuff. Shigella, Sinea, Nazera, meningitis, Ebola, Zika, as well as the reemergence of neglected STIs such as lymphogranuloma, venereum. I mean, basically, we're just bringing back all the old stuff and we're keeping the new stuff. Like, it's so bad out there. And you're like, are you trying to gross us out? Maybe a little bit. But what I'm trying to point out is the fact that when you get away from God, you think there's no problem. It's a prevalent problem. You know, Hollywood, everything will try to paint it as this pretty picture. It's not. It's not a pretty picture at all, right? Last thing I have for you here, and then we'll get to the first point, is the scope of the problem is that STIs have a profound impact on just the reproductive health of the world, right? Even though there's more than 1 million curable, this is 2020. It right here, it just says that 254 million of those people were living with chronic hepatitis B or chronic instances of this stuff. Like, it's, and then they tell you stuff that's like, it should be common sense, right? STIs like herpes, gonorrhea, syphilis can increase the risk of HIV acquisition. Well, of course, because your immune system's basically shattered. You have no way to protect your body, right? Mother to child transmission of STI can result in stillbirth, neonatal death, low birth weight, and prematurity, sepsis, neonatal conjunctivitis, and congenital deformities. You wonder why there's so many issues, not just with autism, like linked to vaccines, but it's also linked to just the unhealthy lifestyles that we're living, including fornication, right? HPV infection causes cancer of the cervix or other cancers. In 2022, hepatitis B resulted in 1.1 million deaths, most from cirrhosis and hepatocellular carcinoma or liver cancer. STI such as gonorrhea and chlamydia are major cause of pelvic inflammatory disease and infertility in women. What am I saying? It's a judgment from God, right? People are just like, oh, you know, live and let live. You only live once. I can't believe you're going to be with the same woman the rest of your life or the same man the rest of your life. Actually, you can, because God said that's the way it should be. Now, I'm not picking on you if you've ever fornicated or look, if you've ever fornicated, just don't do it anymore, right? If you're fornicating, stop. And if I find out, I'm kicking you out, right? But the ideal is, especially because I see, and that's why I purposely picked it towards the evening, because that's usually when we have like the smaller group, but we also have a lot of the kids left. You guys that are listening, even if it's not impacting you, just pay attention if you're ever tempted, just how gross it is. And how, yet, if you get one of these diseases, sometimes it's for life. And then like you, the worst part is then you have to tell everybody about it. Of contagion that nobody wants to be around. It's almost as bad as like leprosy in the Bible, right? But let's go to the first point. The first point I want to address, go to verse 1 Corinthians 6, verse 18. I got a couple of points for you, but I really just wanted to bombard you with this on purpose so that we see the challenge. And here's the problem. If it's that rampant, you know where it's also rampant? In church. Because there's no way that you have that many people and it doesn't affect the church. And the reason that it affects the church, and I'm just talking in general right now, not just New IV Church, is because pastors aren't willing to preach about it. It's uncomfortable for me. I mean, it's not my favorite sermon. I love hard preaching, but I do not like getting up here and being like, hey, let's talk about sexually transmitted diseases, right? Nobody wants to like say that. I have my kids in the audience. You have your kids in the audience. You're like, ooh, is that so? But we need to tell our kids. You know, sometimes it's weird to me when parents, like, I'm not saying these parents, but sometimes parents will be like, well, actually, you want your kids to hear everything from church. What you don't want them to hear from is somewhere else. Because at church, at least I'm doing my best to not tiptoe around the issue, but tiptoe around the visual of it all, right? Like, I don't want to defile your mind, but I do want to gross you out a little bit. So that when you get older, if you're older, you know what I'm talking about. But if you get older, you're like, you know what? I remember how gross that was. Let me not mess up. But go to 1 Corinthians 6. The first point I have for you is called, it's just the actual sin of fornication, right? Any sexual sin outside of marriage. Fornication is just the activity between unmarried people, right? And what does it do? It destroys purity and also corrupts our society. The reason that our society is the way it is because it's corrupt. Look, I don't care if you're a little girl in the audience or you're a little boy. You get to the marriage bed undefiled. That means you become a virgin. And I'm telling you right now, here in church, it is cool in the eyes of God to be a virgin. And you say, why are you saying that? If you don't get it, don't worry. But one day you're going to run into people that think you're uncool if you're a virgin. And you tell them to go kiss a lemon. You tell them to go. You can tell them even worse. You can tell them your pastor said so. Because it's not cool to be anything other than what God said. You know, we grew up in public school. Some of us did. We grew up with that peer pressure. And nobody told us how bad it was. Instead, they promoted that stuff. And then it causes all kinds of issues and challenges, not just from the physical disease part, but even the psychological. They don't even mention it here. But for example, syphilis is one that can attack the brain. It can cause all kinds of serious issues. For sure, syphilis does. I'm pretty sure the others do, but syphilis for sure does. But go to 1 Corinthians 6, verse 18. And the Bible says there, verse 15. The Bible says, know ye not that your bodies are the members of Christ? Hey, don't do it because your bodies are the members of Christ. Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them the members of an harlot? What's a harlot? A whore, someone who sleeps around, who has no commitment to the thing that God asked her to do, right? God forbid. What? Know ye not that that which is joined to a harlot is one body? For two saith he shall be one flesh, but he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. The Bible says, flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication his own body. So it's even worse because it's double. You're not only sinning against God, but you're also hurting yourself. The Bible says, for ye are bought with the price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. The Bible says in Hebrews 13:14, you don't have to turn there for the sake of time. 13:4, the Bible says, marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. Hey, you want to get to the marriage bed in an honorable state and undefiled because that's what God looks at, right? In the same book in Hebrews, it says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. You know what shows faith? When you say, Lord, I'm going to wait till I'm married. That's the way you said to do it. I don't care what the world says. You please the Lord and he will take care of you, right? In 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 3, the Bible says, for this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication. Abstain. What does abstain mean? Don't do it. You know, the world is like, oh, we need contraceptives, and we need this, and we need it. Just don't do it. You know how you don't get a disease? Just don't do it. Right? It's real simple. Hey, if somebody's sick and they don't come to church, you know what we're not going to get? We're not going to get sick. But if somebody's sick and they come to church, well, they didn't abstain from exposing everybody else. Guess what? We're all susceptible to maybe getting that sickness, right? Which, by the way, I mean, that's kind of an aside note. I've never really said it from the pulpit, and I think you're all adults, so that's why I've never really said it. But, yeah, don't ever feel bad because I get sick sometimes. Like, if you're sick and it's really bad, especially if you're contagious, stay home. You know, because we don't want to just spread it to where then we don't have anybody in church. That being said, I mean, if you've already on the last stages, you're just coughing because you know that like if you get sick and then you get better, sometimes you can still be coughing for like a week or two. Well, then that's, I mean, if somebody doesn't like that, that's just life. But if you're sick, you know, try to avoid that. I wish, honestly, my prayer is that we can have other men fill in the pulpit at some point, because I hate coming to church when I'm sick. I tell you guys, I don't want to be responsible for you guys getting sick. So I didn't mean to go into that, but might as well just address it from here. Ephesians 5, verse 3, the Bible says, verse 1 says, therefore, followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also loved us and hath given himself for us an offering and sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetousness, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Now, I mean to say, obviously it's not workspace. We know there's verses, and even here, salvation is by grace. But the goal of salvation is that you would clean up your life and lead a better life. You should keep the commandments. You should love God. You should submit to his authority. You should stop all the sinning. If you don't do it, you're still going to heaven. But just remember, there's going to be consequences for that. But what this is really saying is that the people that won't inherit is the people that want to continue in this lifestyle, right? One thing is maybe you lived it, you got saved. Maybe even after you got saved, it's something that you're overcoming, but you're moving in that direction, right? But what this is really addressing is those people that just live that lifestyle. You say, are you saying there's people that live like, yeah, there's entire industries. Literally, that's like one of the most common sayings, right? The oldest profession in the world. And if you don't know, don't worry about it. But for those of you that are not, and you know what I'm talking about, there's entire cities, there's entire countries that have that industry as their main source of income and industry, right? I mean, you know where I don't like to go to conferences? Las Vegas. I've been to Las Vegas maybe once or twice in my life, maybe three times. I can't remember. Most of it has always been for business. And you know what? Like, it's the worst place to go because there's nowhere for me to go. I just have to be in the hotel the whole time. I'm like imprisoned in my own world because it's Sin City. And it really is. And everything that you can think of under the sun is being promoted there. Like, that would be the worst place for anybody to want to like go soul winning, because you couldn't keep your eyes clean if you wanted to. Like, you know, that's why, you know, Las Vegas is such a bad place. Their entire industry is dedicated to this type of sin. Drugs, fornication, whoremongering, prostitution, all kinds of stuff. So we need to be very, very careful in the world, right? And the sin, the actual sin of fornication, the world treats fornication as normal. You know, and what's interesting is they actually know what the word fornication means. It's like commonly used in like programming and articles and stuff, but they use it as a jest. Like we are like the Bible thumpers, the uppities, you know, we're just too good, goody tissues for anybody. No, we just don't want to be disgusting, right? I don't, you know, but God treats it as a sin that defiles the body, right? This type of sin is unique because not only does it corrupt your relationship with God, but it corrupts your own body. And there's a slew of things that we could go into, forget just like the actual disease. They've done all the studies, like all this cohabitating and all this creates a lot of, you know, just, it's called what? What do they call it in modern day era? Oh, you know, people don't want to date the older woman because she's carrying a lot of what? Baggage. Or they don't want to date the older guy because he's carrying a lot of what? Baggage. You know what baggage is code for? It's called issues because you were fornicating and committing adultery and doing all this stuff that you shouldn't have been doing, right? Point number two, the fornicator, specifically like dealing with whores or whoremongers, right? The Bible not only condemns the sin, but it identifies the person living in it, right? Well, and I'm going to give you one little statistic here. It has nothing. Go to 1 Corinthians 6 again. But while roughly 85% of movies released between 1950 1950, not 2025. 1950 and 2006 contain some form of sexual content. And it's funny because it says here, a significant decline has occurred recently. Studies indicate that while over 80% of films historically featured this kind of content, right? In the top grossing films has fallen by almost 40% since 2000, with nearly 50% of films lacking it entirely. You're like, that's a good thing. Hooray. But you know what? It's actually not. Because if you really analyze it, why do movies not need to promote anymore? Because most people aren't really watching movies like we grew up watching movies. What are they doing now? Social media, forums, you know, the web, all that stuff. So if you just look, the reason for the decline is that it's found in what? Other medium. Social media, 60% of social media has some kind of content like that. 67%. I hate social media, like in the sense that sometimes, you know, Brother Heath was even talking about, like, they know your age, they know the things that you're dealing with, and you're getting advertisement for all that kind of stuff, right? Do you have this problem, or, you know, are you going through a divorce, or you're going through, and it's just promoting something. Video games have like 13% of video games carry this. But you say, well, that's not a lot, except that they're the top grossing video games, which is the most of the video games that people play, right? Most people will only play at the top 13% of the games. Nobody knows that there's a ton of games that people don't ever play. Did you know that Nintendo had like probably hundreds of video games? How many of you played hundreds of video games? You didn't. Remember going to that one kid who was obsessed with Nintendo and you didn't even know that half the games he had existed because you only played what? Excitebike and, you know, Duck Hunt and Super Mario Bros. And Super Contra. That's what I remember, right? Everything else, you know, it was like the one weird kid who was really obsessed with Nintendo who knew how to play all the other games that you'd never heard of, right? Forums, such as Reddit, and I pick Reddit because it's the most popular one, 24% of Reddit has all this kind of content available. Television programming outside of movies, 70 to 82% of all the sitcoms and TV shows and miniseries, content. 35% of all internet downloads are related to pornography. 35%? Guys, there's millions and millions of websites. That's insane. I mean, that's just mind-boggling. 12% or 4 million websites exist just for adult content, and I think that's actually off. I don't really believe that because I think that's only documented what's seen, because there's a whole other part of the web that's called the dark web, and it's just crazy out there, right? I was watching this one guy. I don't know if you've seen him, this guy who, like, I guess he worked for the NSA, not the one from back in the day, not whatever from 10 years ago. It's a newer, younger kid, and he went on the game Roblox, which I don't know what the game is, but the kids are looking at me. You know what Roblox are. And he went in there and just put, like, my name's Ashley, 13 years old. They wanted to see how quickly it would be for just older men to start private messaging, you know, somebody they thought was a young girl. Literally 5 seconds. In a minute, there was like 25 requests. Just, you got to watch. You say, Pastor, why are you saying this? Because we got to say it. Because our duty is to protect our families from this junk, because the majority of the world turns a blind eye and they don't think the world's that bad. The world's worse than you think. It's actually horrible out there. We just live in a bubble because we're willing to protect our families, so we don't engage in a lot of the crap that's out there. But it's just insane. And Houston is just one of the worst places for human trafficking. Don't even get me started on that. But go to 1 Corinthians 6. But in 1 Corinthians 5, verse 11, I'll read for you real quick. It says, but now I write unto you not to keep company of any man that's called a brother, be a fornicator, or covetous, or an idolater, or a railer, or a drunkard, or an extortioner, with such a one know not eat. Right? What's a fornicator? Someone who's actually practicing this as a lifestyle. Right? Once they start doing it, they're just going to do it. You know, they're addicted to it. In 1 Corinthians 6, verse 9, the Bible says, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Fornicators, nor idolaters, nor idolaters, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. Hey, young men, pay attention. Proverbs 4, verse 3 says, for the lips of a strange woman drop as a honeycomb, and her mouth is smoother than oil, but her end is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. Her feet go down to the death. Her steps take hold on hell. And by the way, actually, this is just for all men in general, right? Because it's not just fornication. You know, David didn't go to war, and he looked out at midnight, and some young lady was taking a bath, and then he committed some of the most egregious sins that are found in the Bible. Proverbs 7, verse 21, the Bible says, with her much fair speech, she caused him to yield. With the flattering of her lips, she forced him. He goeth after her straightway, as an ox goeth to the slaughter, or as the fool to the correction of the stocks, till a dart strike through his liver, as a bird hasteth to the snare, and knoweth not that it was for his life. It's a trap. That's what it's saying. Picture of something that you didn't think was going to happen that happened unawares, right? It a dart through that strikes through the liver is talking about, like, you know, people use you don't see it coming. You would never even hear it until it hit you. If you set up a snare for a bird, they won't see it until it's too late. You're already caught, right? The ox that goes to the slaughter, they don't know they're going to get slaughtered until they're slaughtered, right? People say, oh, we need humane. They're animals. They don't know when they're going to get killed. They just get killed, right? As a fool to the correction of stocks, same thing. He doesn't know he's going to get corrected until he's there. Fornication destroys judgment. It destroys families, whether before they begin or after they begin. Like, all the sins in our life, don't let anybody tell you otherwise, but this one really can have some serious consequences, right? That's why it shouldn't be allowed in the church, because it can create all kinds of misconceptions, perceptions, right? And then the problem is that once you create a bad habit like this, it's just going to carry, right? So a young man who, and I'm using young men because that's what the world pushes, but it can be young women. And today, it feels like they're pushing it on young women too. But fornicators, that then let's say they decide to get married, it's harder for them to be faithful in marriage after they've been fornicating for so long. You know, it's just a habit that's been built. So you got to be careful of the habits that you produce. You know, I'm 46 years old. I was a young child. My mom got onto me, but she didn't do a good job in this respect. I'm not picking on my mom. Ultimately, it's my fault. But to this day, on occasion, I'll bite my nails. I'm 46 years old, and I've overcome a lot. It used to be worse. But once you build a really bad habit, it can follow you for life. It's a disgusting habit. It's something that, you know, obviously, I wouldn't promote anybody. I'm not fornicating, but it's a bad habit. You're like, well, Pastor, you just got to stop. I know. Thanks for reminding me. Right? But there's certain habits that once you've opened that door, it's really hard to stop. It's the same thing with fornication, drug use, things of that nature. So you really got to focus on not doing that. Point number three, fornication is contagious. I really believe these five, the attributes here in 1 Corinthians 5, the reason God removes them is because all of these are contagious, right? Right? A railer, covetousness. It becomes like a disease. It spreads like an infection. Go to 1 Corinthians 5. It says in verse 6, right there in 1 Corinthians 5, it says, your glorying is not good. Know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? Hey, it doesn't take a lot for everybody to start doing it. You know, the modern church today, the contemporary churches are full of what? Couples that have married and remarried and are living in sin. And they're all just happy-go-lucky because the pastor won't do anything about it. You know why? Because the pastor, what's that idiot's name? The southern guy Brother Heath, help me out. Greg Locke. Thank you, honey. I read your lip. Greg Locke. The guy's out there pastoring, saying he's God's chosen and anointed, all that stuff. The guy literally divorced his wife to marry his secretary. How would he be able to toe the line for anybody in his church? He's not. You know what he doesn't preach about? Fornication, I guarantee you. He'll preach about Israel all day long, right? And he'll preach about the moral right and the right wing. You know what he won't preach about is fornication. I haven't heard him ever say a negative word about Donald Trump. Donald Trump is a serial fornicator and a serial adulterer. And it's wicked. And God's judging our nation because of that. By the way, I never voted. Oh, no, actually, we voted for Trump one time in 2016 during the primaries. But since then, we didn't vote for him for president. We Trump is whatever. I just want to make that clear. I'm not a Trump fan. Here's an interesting statistic. Key findings on marriage and cohabitation in the U.S., and this is from the Pew Research in 2019, almost a decade ago. And in there, it said a large share of adults have cohabitated more than the people that have been married. In other words, today in America, more people are cohabitating than they are married. Just let that sink in for a second. That's wild. Most Americans, 69%, say cohabitation is acceptable even if the couple doesn't plan on getting married. What is it? It's just an attack on God. Married adults have higher levels of relationship satisfaction and trust than those living with a partner. Duh, because they're committed. Because my wife knows that we didn't just move in together. I made a commitment in the eyes of God to say, through thick and thin, through sickness and health, through good and bad, I'm there with you. That carries way more weight than, hey, let's just see if this thing works, right? Many cohabitating adults see living together as a step towards marriage, but the reason they don't is finances and, which is weird. Finances and convenience are the reasons for cohabitating, but then cohabitators say finances are the reasons they don't get married. Wait, you got married. I mean, you got together because it would be easier, like, you know, you could make your money go further and it's convenient, but you don't get married because it's too expensive. Doesn't even make any sense. Most Americans favor allowing unmarried couples to have the same legal rights as married couples. 65%. That's in 2019. Let me ask you again. You think it's gotten better or it's gotten worse? I believe it's gotten worse because we're just headed down, you know, a downward spiral. Proverbs 13, you can go to Proverbs 22, but Proverbs 13, verse 20, the Bible says, he that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. Hey, God doesn't want these people in the church because they're fools and they're wicked and they'll destroy the rest of us. Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15:33, be not deceived, evil communications corrupt good manners. And by the way, when I read this, I'm of the belief, this is not talking about cussing. This is talking about what you're actually saying that could affect the doctrines of the Bible. Oh, you shouldn't say a bad word, and then they'll take you to this verse. And then I'm like, well, okay, I won't say a bad word, but I still think that someone's damned to hell. Oh, well, you shouldn't say that either, you know. Just like that guy that, you know, I decided to privately message you because I didn't want to cause more harm. Hey, how about you tell the truth? And if it causes harm, it's because they rejected the Lord Jesus Christ. But somebody's going to pay attention. Somebody's going to listen. Proverbs 22. You're there in Proverbs 22. Go to verse 24. The Bible says, make no friendship with an angry man, and with a furious man thou shalt not go, lest thou learn his ways and get a snare to thy soul. Hey, are you saying the fornicators are angry? I don't know if I'm angry or not. But you know what I am saying is that a furious man is likened to someone who's selfish. Why do people get mad usually? Beyond, you know, the Bible says, be angry and sin not. So there's righteous anger, but the majority of the time, if we're not angry about the things of God, you know why we get angry? Because it imposes on our selfishness, right? Why do you get, I'll give a good example, it's a dumb example, but this is a very common example in most marriages. You know, something like leaving the toothpaste cap open, right? Or maybe not putting something back the way you like it. You get mad. Why are you getting mad? It's not because the person that did it wrong. It's because they didn't do it your way, right? And so it's the same thing with fornication. It's a sin of selfishness, right? Because what you're doing is you're fulfilling the lusts of the flesh instead of, you know, mortifying the flesh and doing what God says. And so it's a big problem. And this is why church discipline exists. These are actually not the sermons that they're not fun to preach. I'm comfortable preaching them because the Bible says it. They're just not fun to preach, but we need to preach them. You say, are you saying there's fornicators in our church? I'm saying there's fornicators in America. I don't know if they're in our church. If they are, I haven't found them out. I'm just saying this is a problem. Right? And we don't want that in our church because, look, it'll influence the teenagers. It'll influence the young adults. It'll influence unmarried couples. It'll influence the reputation of the church. And it'll influence the preaching. Look what happened to Verity. The preaching at Verity sucks. Right? And if you don't know who Verity is, don't worry about it. But if you know Verity Baptist, and what happened? The statement that was put out by the previous pastor, you know, who's no longer there, Roger Jimenez, said that his sin didn't permeate the church. You're thinking that all the way that they're acting and the things that they're saying didn't permeate? It affected everybody. Of course it did, right? You're either affecting the church for good or you're affecting the church for bad. And everything that you do on your own, even if I'm not aware of it, if God's aware of it, you know what? It's affecting the church. You know, Pastor Thompson came a couple, maybe like 2-3 years ago, and he preached. One of the things that really stood out to me, he's like, your sins affect the church. I mean, I can still hear it to this day. Like, and I was sitting there, you know, you want preaching that's convicting. And I'm like, man, if there's anything I need to clean up, Lord, help me clean it up. I don't want to be your stumbling block. And I don't want you to be my stumbling block. Life's hard enough as it is without you having to screw everybody else up. Right? So don't do it. We're almost done here. But sin tolerated is sin that then becomes imitated. You say, give me a good example called Jeffrey Epstein. You know, he let everything go, whatever they wanted, and he literally influenced probably thousands of people to do the exact same thing he was doing, right? Abusing all kinds of people. I'm not going to even go into it, right? Andrew Tate, if you've never heard of him, same thing. Influenced an entire generation of young men to think that it's okay to just be a whoremonger. P. Diddy, all this bad stuff. So who you surround yourself will carry out in your life. Sorry, I'm trying to adjust to the light. That one went off, and I'm just like, point number four. I've got two more points for you. Yeah, I've got two or three more points for you, but they're quick. The spiritual fornicator. Because it's very similar, but what's the spiritual fornicator? Well, look, if you're willing to defile your flesh and sin against your own body, you know what you're actually doing? You're also against the Lord spiritually, right? The Bible uses fornication spiritually to describe unfaithfulness. And go to Romans 7. I'll read this one for you, and then we'll go on to other verses. But Romans 7, I actually, please turn there, and I'll wait for you. In Romans 7, verse 1, the Bible says, "Know ye not, brethren, for I speak to them that know the law, how that the law hath dominion over a man as long as he liveth. For the woman which hath a husband is bound by the law to her husband so long as he liveth. But if the husband be dead, she is loosed from the law of her husband. So then, if while her husband liveth, she be married to another man, she shall be called an adulteress. But if the husband be dead, she is free from that law, so she's no adulteress, though she be married to another man. Wherefore, my brethren, ye are also become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that ye should be married to another, even to him who is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God." You know what? God mortified the law so that we would be free to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what it's saying here, right? "For we were in the flesh, the motions of sin, which were by the law, did work in our members to bring forth fruit unto death. But now we are delivered from the law, that being dead, we were held that we should serve in newness of spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. Nay, I had not known sin but by the law, for I had not known lust, except the law had said, thou shalt not covet. But sin taking occasion by the commandment wrought in me all manner of concupiscence, For without the law, sin was dead. For I was alive without the law once, but when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. So the Bible's saying here, hey, that's what God said. Remember, the law doesn't, in other verses, it says that the law no longer applies to us. Not that we shouldn't obey the law, but we now serve the Lord Jesus Christ. So we should remain faithful to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why we don't want to engage in sin. I mean, obviously, we're sinners, but the harder we try not to engage in sin, then the sin that we are committing shouldn't be as fornication or covetousness or something like that, right? Rampant drug use, things of that nature. For the sake of time, just go to Ezekiel 16, and I'll start to close this thing out. Right there in Ezekiel 16, when Christians love the world more than God, what are they doing? They're committing spiritual fornication. In 16, verse 27 says, "Behold, therefore I have stretched out my hand over thee, and have diminished thine ordinary food, and delivered thee unto the will of them that hate thee, the daughters of the Philistines, which are ashamed of thy lewd way. Thou hast played the whore also with the Assyrians, because thou was unsatiable. Yet thou hast played the harlot with them, and yet couldst not be satisfied. Thou hast moreover multiplied thy fornications in the land of Canaan unto Chaldea, and yet thou was not satisfied herewith. How weak is in thine heart, saith the Lord God, seeing thou doest all these things to work an imperious whorish woman, in that thou buildest thine enemies eminent place in the head of every way, and makest thine high places in every street, and thou hast not been as an harlot, in that thou scornest hire, but as a wife that committed adultery, which taketh strangers instead of her husband. They give gifts to all whores, but thou givest thy gifts to all thy lovers, and hirest them that they may come unto thee on every side of thy whoredom." Man, that's some pretty rough words. And it's talking about both the physical and the spiritual fornication of the church. God doesn't like that. Right? Go over to Revelation 2. Go over to Revelation 2. So we have the spiritual fornication. How does it carry over? It carries over to the church. The church is spiritual fornication. In Revelation 2, verse 20, the Bible says, "Notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest the woman Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servants to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed unto idols." And what's interesting is we don't even have time to go into it. In the book of Revelation alone, fornication is mentioned 10 times, most of it dealing with the spiritual state of the church or the people or the nation. You know, we're basically committing fornication when the lusts of Christianity in America are for war. Where we're so war hungry, it doesn't even satisfy us. What do we read in Ezekiel? It's like, you were unsatiable. Don't we have this unsatiable appetite as Americans to just go out and war? I've seen more clips that I care to think about with this little, you know, what is it? Number one, you know, God Bless America, and start your engines. And then they show like this picture of Donald Trump sending all war, and they're building up the music. War, war, war. God's not a God of war like that. God's destroying those that hate him. But, you know, our first duty should be to lead people to Christ, not just have this unsatiable fornication spiritually, just destroy the things of God. And where is it coming from the most? From church. The right-wing Christian Republicans are like, yeah, kill them all. Calm down, brother. I mean, seriously, it's like, I keep seeing all these videos about, they keep showing these videos about how many planes like Iran has, and then how many planes the U.S. has. You know, what a powerful, you know, army we have. Yeah, we get it. We're powerful. That doesn't mean that just because of that, we just do whatever we want. We're not a dictatorship. Well, that could be argued. You know, think about the last months. We just took some president from Venezuela. We're just like, hey, we don't like you. Take him and his wife. we just randomly decided to attack Iran because Israel said so, and all the surrounding areas, just because they said so. And not only that, every time we hear the news, they're like, oh, and it's going to get worse. You know, it's going to get worse. We're not going to tell you, because if we told you, the enemy would know, but it's coming. Calm down, brother. And then the last point, I have 1 minute. The last point is, why even preach on all this? Well, because the purpose of church discipline is to get these people out. But you need to know, as a church, if that action is taken, why it has been taken. It's not a light manner. I mean, a light matter, right? The goal of the church is to grow. And if there's issues, we need to restore and purify the church. God says to constantly be sanctifying. I mean, read the Old Testament. Everything they did, you know, all the sacrifices, all the offerings, all the atonement was for what? Purification and sanctification. Right? Go to Galatians 6, and I'll close there. Go to Galatians 6. The aim of church discipline is for a couple of reasons. Number one, we want to protect the church. Look, I'm not just so selfish that I just want to protect my children. I want to protect your children. I'm not so selfish I want to just protect my marriage. I want to protect your marriages, right? We need to protect the church. And I want to protect the integrity of our doctrines. I believe we preach the best doctrines in this area. I want to protect that integrity, right? We want the spread of sin, and if possible, we do want to restore the sinner. Because in 1 Corinthians 5, later on in Corinthians, that sinner does get restored, right? We don't want to just beat him down. Go to Galatians 6, verse 1. The Bible says, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For a man think himself to be himself. You know, another reason these sins are so bad is because they puff you up, right? I mean, the world promotes this thing, like, especially in this double standard world, where, you know, a man who fornicates is a man's man. But the Bible says there's nothing manly about that. There's nothing cool about that. You know, nowadays, they're trying to make it to where the women are like that, too. I don't believe it. I don't buy it for 1 second that men would ever look at another woman that fornicates and think that she's cool. You know, when we were growing up, even in my worldly state, my friends would say, oh, that's not a girl you want to marry. That's a girl you mess around with, but you don't marry. Women, don't get that reputation. Because men will just walk all over you for the rest of your life. It'll be horrible. Don't get that reputation. So I know this wasn't like the most pleasant of sermons, but you know what? The Bible's not always a pleasant book. I mean, you got to learn it all. So let's close in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you so much for today. Thank you for your blessings. Thank you for allowing us to preach these hard truths, so that it's better to just be pricked at and maybe even uncomfortable today, but live a peaceable, glorious life with you, receiving your blessings for the rest of our life, Lord. I would rather show up 3 times a week and get beat up for 3 times a week than get beat up 24/7 because of all our stupid sin. So thank you, Lord, that we have these opportunities to learn this stuff. Help us to have a great week. Bless the efforts. Watch as for us that are traveling, safe traveling mercies, and be with those that are sick. Be with Brother Elliot as he prepares for surgery on Tuesday, and just put your healing hand on him. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's turn our hymnals over to page 351. Oh, thank you, honey. 351. 351. Tell it to Jesus on the first. Are you weary? Are you heavy hearted? Tell it to Jesus. Tell it to Jesus. Are you grieving over joys departed? Tell it to Jesus alone. Tell it to Jesus, tell it to Jesus. He is a friend that's well known. You've no other such a friend or brother. Tell it to Jesus alone. Do the tears flow down your cheeks unbidden? Tell it to Jesus. Tell it to Jesus. Have you sins that to men's eyes are hidden? Tell it to Jesus alone. Tell it to Jesus. Tell it to Jesus. He is a friend that will know. You've got such a friend or brother. Tell it to Jesus alone. Do you fear the gathering clouds of sorrow? Tell it to Jesus. Are you anxious? What shall be tomorrow?